Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, A Guest of Honor. How many times have you ever been invited to be a guest of honor? Have you participated in some special banquet, special reception, a special event? When you receive a special invitation to be present, and the person who invited you intended to show you, they honor you by wanting your presence, because they want you to be present. Throughout life, there will be many occasions when we feel that someone wants to honor us, wants to praise us for something that we have done, for something that they feel like we have accomplished, something that they feel that we are entitled to receive. So let's first define what honor is. In our society, many people no longer know what really the meaning of the word honor. Honor is something that we find mentioned in the Bible quite a few times, in many different contexts. So what does the Bible say about honor? The Greek word for honor is doxa, which is the same word that we use for doxology, or praise, or glory. It is always used with intent to give a special recognition to the person who is the object of receiving doxa, or honor, or praise, or glory. Honor, as the dictionaries define, is a high respect, is to show high respect for someone, a great esteem, appreciation, a devotion to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. So when somebody has integrity, honesty, uprightness, good set of ethics, morals, we say that this person is honorable. This person is entitled to be honored. Honor may apply to the recognition of one's right to a greater respect, or as also an expression for something that the person has accomplished in life. The value, the contributions that that person made to somebody else's life. At a banquet on Jesus' time, honor was determined by four factors, four things. First, to have the invitation, that in itself was part of the honor, because not everyone was invited. But if you receive an invitation, that is, it is just like the door of honor, to honor you already started. But many people just stop at the invitation, nothing else. So the honor was not accomplished. So number two, how one was dressed. When you were invited, you need to be properly dressed to recognize the honor that was about to be given to you. So it's important to know that you need to be dressed properly for the occasion. Number three, with whom one will be eating. And so it's not just the location, it's not only the invitation, how you're dressed, but who made the invitation and why that invitation was sent to you. And then fourth and last one is how close are you going to be sitting to the host, to the one who actually invited you. You know, in Jesus' time, it's implied that those higher up, close to the host, were considered the most worthy of a greater honor than those that we see way behind. Today is not any different. Today we see when we have a special event, there are those that are sitting very close to the host and those that are sitting far back. And some are sitting so far back they have to use a binoculars to see the host. brothers and sisters, true honor or glory or praise cannot be obtained by anyone only because they just seek fame. People think that honor and praise is something that we can buy, something we can earn. And a lot of people go through life desperate to have fame, to call attention. Some people even do some disastrous things, some terrible things in order to gain fame. They want to be praised. Is a very sick mind, but because they want to be praised no matter what, even if they have to do something bad in order to be famous. It is common for humans always to seek the best seat, to seek praise, to be closer to the host. But sometimes they don't want to dress properly. Sometimes they don't want to even have an invitation. They just want to get into the back door. Brothers and sisters, to be humble is to the humble, it is given, is a gift. Honor, it is a gift to the one who is humble. But you know, to those that are proud, honor will be taken away. Proverbs 29, verse 23, the New Living Translation says like this: pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. How many times in life we have seen the people that have done some brave, some very honorable act of integrity, of a bravery, and when they the media come to them and give them a microphone for them to say how great they feel for what the great things that they did, they say, very simple, I'm very humble for the opportunity to serve. They are all the people that deserve the honor. I'm here just to serve. That's my duty. I did because of the uniform that I wear, of the commitment I made, the promises that I made. I gave my word. I made my commitment. Therefore, I do what I do because I have to. It is my duty, it is my honor. And those are the people usually are the true heroes. Not the ones who plays a sport so well or does all the things that are, we tend to call them heroes when they are not really heroes. They're just people who do something very well, but not necessarily for the benefit of others. But sometimes it's just a skill that praise themselves. In Luke 14, verse 7, 8, New Living Translation, it says like this: when Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner or to the banquet were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. And this advice was given then and is given today. It is a good advice. Please, young people, listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone, listen to those words, because it says, when you are invited to a wedding feast or to a banquet or to a special occasion, don't sit in the seat of honor. What about if somebody is more distinguished than you is also invited? Imagine embarrassment when you come you think that you deserve to be sitting in one place and somebody will come to you, I'm sorry, sir, but this is reserved for somebody else. Be humble. Wait. If praise will come to you because you deserve it, the one who is granted the praise will call for your name. Two men interviewed for the same position, for the same job. The potential employer felt that the both candidates were equally qualified, very well qualified. So the employer made a decision. I have to find one way to see which one do I choose to work for my company. So he decided to invite them, each one of them, in a separate occasion, to a dinner. So the two dinners went well. Different time, different occasion, different place. They went and they had this dinner with the employer. And then the employer, after he went out with both to eat, he made a decision. The employee that was not chosen, the first one, he said, "I'd like to ask, sir, why was not chosen? I thought that both of us were equally qualified." So the employer responded, when your food came to the table, you seasoned the food without even tasting it first. And when the waitress asked, "How was your food?" you said, "It was a little bit salty." I felt you might make similar assumptions in your job as well. So that prospective employee understood that sometimes people come to make decisions without all the facts. They want honor, they want the privilege without their doing their duty. Take care of things the way it's supposed to be done. And sometimes even blame others for their own mistakes. In Romans 12, verse 10, New Century Version, we find what Paul wrote to the Romans, to the saints in Rome: love each other like brothers and sisters. And here's the most important: give each other more honor than you want for yourselves. Brothers and sisters, in any relationship, when there's two people or more involved in the relationship, and that person is more preoccupied and tell everybody how great he or she is, instead of giving praise to somebody else, they always want all the lights to focus on them. Those individuals would not be able to hold any relationship because it's all about them. How many times as a pastor I have been involved in situations when people ask me, "Pastor, we want you to give us your opinion about what we are doing wrong in our relationships." And I can see when the one of them will speak and says, because of me, and goes around and around and around, and is just like the shellfish that I always say, selfish. The shellfish is all around itself, himself. There's no place in honor for selfishness. Honor is given to those that are people are humble, people that always think about others before themselves. I have a quote here from Henry Ford. I don't know how many of you know what Henry Ford is, the creator, and the Ford company that became a revolution around the world in transportation. He said, "Always demand the best of yourself. Live with honor. Devote your talents and gifts to the benefits of others. These are the measures of success that we will endure even when the material things pass away in your life. Do everything with your talents and gifts and to benefit others instead of yourself. Live with honor." In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, New Living Translation, the Word of God says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God decides to reside in you, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves." This is not about me, I. You don't belong to yourselves because God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Honor your God with everything that you have, because everything you have is not yours, it's His. Everything you have, everything you are part of, according to Hebrews 13:4, New Living Translation, even your marriage. It says, give honor to marriage. And by the way, the Bible defines only one type of marriage. It's not what Caesar calls as marriage is marriage, but only what God calls as marriage. And there are a lot of people that are living in adultery, and they claim that that's marriage. That's not marriage. Marriage is what God calls marriage. So Hebrews, again, Hebrews 13, verse 4, New Living Translation says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery, those who do dishonor marriage, the marriage that God has created. Here's a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, the purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful. It is to be honorable. That is the purpose of life. It is to be useful. It is to be an instrument that will help others, to serve others, to be honorable. Offer your life with a purpose. John 12:26, New Living Translation. Anyone who wants to serve me, Jesus Christ says, must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Jesus Christ said clearly that He came, the Son of Man came to be, not to be served, but to serve. It's what you do for others that brings you honor, not what you do to yourself or for yourself. H.L. Mencken said, honor is simply the morality of superior people. Honor is simply the morality of superior people. If you are to be a great person, it is what you do with your life in behalf of others, not on behalf of yourself. And that's what the lesson that we learn in communion with Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3, New King James Version says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that is, that it may be well with you and you may live long on this earth. Every one of us, every human being, you have a father and a mother. Oh, no, Pastor, I don't. My age already passed away. But he's still to carry on the honor of their names. What you do with your life, you keep honoring your parents even after they are asleep. Just because they are not present, it doesn't mean that it ceases your role to continue honoring them. Honor them by the morals that you learn from them and you pass on to your children. The honor never ends. The honoring needs to continue. And when it says children here, it's not talking only about those that are 10, 12, 16, 17. It's talking about children, all of us, because all of us call Abba, Abba, our Father, our Heavenly Father. So we all need to continue honoring our parents. Proverbs 3, verse 9, New Living Translation, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Not with whatever is left. It says, honor God with everything, with the best part of everything you produce in your life. And that includes your words, whatever you work, your devotion, with the best of everything that you produce, that comes out of your desire to bring about. Proverbs 21:21, New King James. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. If you pursue what is right, then you should be honored for it. Because honor is given to those that take the time to be right. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, the time is always right to do what is right. And the right time is now, brothers and sisters. The time when it comes to you, an opportunity to come to you for you to do the right thing. Don't second guess yourself. Don't compromise. How many people have opportunity to do the right thing in the right time, and because of fear, because of other things, they let the opportunity pass? I agree with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he says, the time is always right to do the right thing. The right person does not need it for the right time, because the right person always will find the right time. Mark 10:35-40, New Century Version. Then James and John, you know, the two brothers, they came to Jesus and they said, oh, teacher, we need a favor from you. So Jesus says, yes, what can I do for you? They answer, oh, what about when you are in your kingdom, when you have this banquet, this glorious banquet, or when you have your throne, would you allow one of us to sit in your right side and another one to the left side? In other words, the two brothers want to keep this in the family. They want to be the right side of Jesus and the left side of Jesus. Jesus said, you do not understand what you are asking. Can you really, do you really want to do that? Can you drink the cup that I must drink? And can you be baptized with the same kind of baptism that I must go through? Or they said, without even realizing what they are saying, they says, oh yes, of course. They were so blinded with a desire to be praised, to be honored, that they were asking for honor. They didn't understand that honor cannot be asked. Honor cannot be bought. You cannot earn the right to be honored. That is a gift. Jesus said to them, you will drink the same cup that I will drink, and you will be baptized with the same baptism that I must go through. But I cannot choose who will sit at my right or my left. And here comes the conclusion what Jesus says. Why? Because he could not say, because he says, it's not really up to me at this moment, because it takes, how are you going to conduct your life? Because those places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Mark Twain, some of you have heard his name, he had a dialogue with a very rich, very successful businessman from Boston. This man, he was known for everyone by being a ruthlessness, because he was arrogant and he would do anything to earn money, honestly or dishonest, anything. He didn't have any morals to guide him on his business. But he has this facade about being a religious person. So when he met Mark Twain, he said to him, you know, Mr. Twain, before I die, I plan to go to visit the Holy Land. And I want to climb the Mount Sinai and take a copy of the Ten Commandments and read them very loud on the top of the mountain. So Mr. Twain said to him, I have a better idea, sir. And so, well, what is it? Why don't you just here in Boston observe them? He was referring to the Ten Commandments. Why don't you just practice them here in Boston instead of going to all the Holy Land and pretend? Many people like to pretend they know what the law of God is. They read out loud. They even memorize them. But sadly, they do not practice them. Matthew 22, verse 3, New Living Translation says, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited. But sadly, this verse says, but they all refused to come. Thank God this is not true here in Vista, because many have heard the invitation and many have decided to come. Luke 14, 22, 24, New King James says, and the servant says, Master, it is done as you commanded, but there is still room, there's still some empty chairs. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men and women who were invited, they shall taste of my supper. Brothers and sisters, you are pride of the bride of Christ. Christ is the groom. The banquet has been set. Invitation has been sent out. A request for us to dress properly before we sit at the table has also been understood as part of the requirement. We all have a seat with our names prepared for it. I like to read what Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, in a New Living Translation says, he, in this case, symbolically implies Jesus Christ. He says, he escorts me, the bride, to the banquet hall. It is obvious how much he loves me. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, by now you know that the host gave his life to be able to give you the honor that he has reserved for you. Revelation 19, verse 79, New Living Translation, it says, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride, you and I, brothers and sisters, has prepared herself. She has been given the finest and of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God himself. Here I am, Revelation 3:20, New Century Version. It says, here I am. I stand at the door. I stand close to your heart and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come in and eat with you and you will eat with me. Please open your Bibles in John 13, verse 12 to 17, which is Christ's invitation to the bride, to you and I, to come and sit at the table. But before we come and sit at the table, there is one aspect of preparation that must take place. So verse 12 says, when he, Jesus, had finished washing their, or his disciples' feet, he put on his robe and sat down again. And he asked his disciples, do you understand what I have just done for you? If you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet. I did this as an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. A servant is not greater than his master. A messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, my brothers and sisters, you will be blessed if you do them. At this time, we'll take 10 minutes for us to have our renew ritual. We like to ask them if there is a family where there is the lady of the house that you, at this moment, you can lead in a word of prayer with your family before you have the foot washing. And make a commitment. Remember, the foot washing is a reminder of you of that step that you took to commit your life in baptism to be part of the body of Christ. So when Jesus told Peter clearly, if you have washed, if you have been baptized, you don't need to be baptized now. You need just to wash your feet, which is a renew ritual, which is a reminder to you of that commitment that you made when you surrender your life to Christ. So this time, let's go to our foot washing section part. God bless.